I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Well, the ladies are taking their, finding their pew. I just, I thought again, over the last couple of days, what a privilege it is to be your pastor. And never, ever think I take that lightly. Never, ever think I take that for granted, that I would take you lightly or take you for granted. That's right, Stan. Thank you, the Lord, for a pastor, and I do love you guys. And it is such a calling. And it is, God just got me right here. And I treasure that. And whatever is left in the tank, I wobble around on a cane or whatever God brings. And I count it such a privilege to stand before God Most High and share His truth with so many who receive His truth, like the Bereans did. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Continue, I should say, Lord, continue to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Mighty One, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do you live? Where do you live? Who has authority over your world? In the kingdom in which you currently reside, are you at peace? Is your heart quiet before God, even as tragedy and despair scroll across the bottom of your television set, or Fox News breaks the latest on the liberal agenda and the dire conditions in Washington? Are you living in the goodness and care of a sovereign Lord? Are you blessed with a clear conscience which presents itself in a godly, dignified life, pleasing to God? Do you live, I'm saying, do you live on the rock or a slippery slope of anxiety, fear, and anger? Please turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. This text has been on my mind for some time, weeks if not months. Thinking through this now, anticipating, sometimes almost dreading, and here we are. But God spoke to me. He truly did. He did something a while back. He said, Dave. I said, yes, Lord, here am I. No, I didn't. But God did speak to me. What does it say? That's what God brought to my attention. What does it say? He said, what's the plain statement in this text? What is the headline? What is the neon sign? Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Let every person... King James users, every soul. That is very literal. New King James, every soul. Other translations, every person. That's good. But what it's saying is there's no one is exempt from this. But when we approach a text like this sometimes, we think of all of the hypothetical situation, and we can have all of the different schools of thought and all of the conflicting theologies and interpretations. But God said, Dave, what does it say? It says that we are to be subject, we are to be submissive to those in authority over us, the governing authorities. And you know what else it says? It says we are to honor them. And it says we are to respect them. And why does God tell us that? Because this is something that God has done. can't get any clearer. It said he is the one who has done this. You know what God has done? See, he instituted a kingdom that was going to endure kingdoms for thousands of years. You follow what I'm saying? A kingdom within a kingdom. See, we live in a kingdom within a kingdom. We live within the kingdom of God, within the kingdom of the United States of America. This text isn't written to just people in the U.S. It's every government. These are instituted. You know what else it does in this text? We'll get into that in a little more detail, but it says that these governing authorities are God's servants. Shock and dismay. Are we respecting and honoring God's servants? You know what we say sometimes, and I ran into this a while back. Well, I'll respect the office because God, but I won't respect them. Well, I'm sorry, and I'm not... Okay, maybe I'm saying this a little bit sarcastically, but I'm trying not to say it too sarcastically. I don't see any text that says only respect the office. Those are people in those offices. Well, how can I do that? It seems like everything going on in our government. How could I possibly, and what if this, and what if that? It's like, wait a minute. See, we got to, because we could run off, and the temptation in a text like this is to try to explain how this fits in all of the what-if scenarios. And how this could, and all these things that our mind could go to. But what God said, you got to come back to the first place. Will we accept the teaching in the Bible? That's who we say we are, don't we? So will we accept the teaching in the Bible that we says submit to governing authorities, honor them, respect them, even if it's a Democrat named Barack Obama? That's our beginning point, folks. Let me ask you this. As we approach a text like this, and we're going to have a similar approach next week as God leads, things a lot can change in a week. But with that, with the headline there, submit to the governing authorities, because they're instituted, this is brought about by God, all of our studying, all of our questions, all of our what-if scenarios, are they helping us? Are they moving us toward obeying that truth or away from it? Are they moving us toward that truth? Or are they giving us more and more, and we don't need more, but are they giving us more and more reasons to rationalize and disobey God? It really does come down to that headline, because it can get real complicated, and we can think back. Well, let's just continue in the text, and we're going to look in your, let's just hop there for a minute, because we can look like the third one. However, it's the very middle, and it's headed on taxes. It says the Roman government in New Testament times was pagan, despotic, and often merciless. Some of its emperors declared themselves to be gods and demanded worship from every person in the empire. Also, as noted before, the empire had more slaves than freemen. During its latter years, Rome degenerated into a giant welfare state in which fewer and fewer people worked for a living and more became dependent on government. That doesn't sound familiar at all, does it? As in many countries today, those who worked had to pay increasingly higher taxes in order to support the growing number who did not work. And it continues, there's more very good stuff there. It says, such was the backdrop for Paul's teaching about the Christian's obligation regarding taxes, which we're going to get to that specifically here. See, because we come up with, well, what if this? Well, what? But that person's doing that. We come up with all of our hypothetical scenarios, all of the injustices. We say, that is so unfair. This text doesn't say whether it's fair or not. This text says this is what God says to do. As people who believe in the Bible as God's word, are we willing to have that as our beginning point? Now, as we discuss issues about government, as we discuss issues about welfare systems, as we discuss issues about different political systems. See, then we have a more, well, for one thing, we're knowing God's will more and more. And our mind is more the mind of Christ, and we can approach those subjects. If we start out there with those subjects, see, we say, oh, our government, it's not honoring God. Is abortion disgusting? Is abortion murder? It's horrible, isn't it? Those people aren't honoring God. I'm not one to kick the gays, because we do way too much of that. It's sin. Don't misunderstand me. But boy, it just seems like we get on a roll. Is it sin? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They're not honoring God, are they? So let me ask you this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Respect them and honor them. If we disobey God, are we honoring God? Or is that a little bit going on, the pot calling the kettle black? You digging what I'm saying? We let God take care of business in here, right here in our hearts. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago. We took the Mother's Day break. We deal with the evil and the darkness here first. It helps us to have the mind of God to deal with the darkness out there. And when we're going around railing against the machine and railing against this, and we got this cause and we got that cause and we got to do this and we got to do that, let me ask, are we first obeying God? You see, we're not going to talk about all the possible scenarios today. We're not going to talk about all the conflicting schools of thought, because that could be a quagmire. Are they out there? They sure are. You know, there's one person who even says in my research, now this person's way out there, but he says that if you don't know Greek, and if you don't have a thorough understanding of the cultural situation in the first century, you can't understand your Bible. Wow. God isn't capable. God isn't capable of bringing his... Now just think the implications of that. You might as well pull Wycliffe off the job. You might as well just pull new tribes out. Because they're getting basic vocabularies and putting the Word of God in those people's vocabularies. They're not teaching them Greek and Hebrew and giving them this full immersion in the historical cultural context. See, there's one person says, this isn't even talking about governing authorities. A few weeks ago, maybe several weeks ago, like I say, I was thinking of this text coming up. I thought, boy, how do you handle that? And God said, Dave, just say what it says. Say what it says now. That might seem... Have you ever had something that... it just, you thought it was going to be a bitter pill. And you took it and you thought, you know what? That's pretty good stuff. See, that happens a bit in the spiritual life. We've talked about this preparation and the transforming of our lives by the renewing of our minds. Well, folks, if nothing changes in our mind, there's no transformation going on. You follow what I'm saying? If we reject this teaching because, well, that's not in my database of what I accept, then what we've done is we've stalled the process. I won't accept that information. It's real clear. The quote from Douglas Moo, and I don't know where it is, but, well, I won't get into that, search for it. But he talked about this whole thing about the history of the contention. He said, over what is really the plain intent of God in this. See, why did I start out asking us where we lived? We have a song, This Is My Father's World. Do you live like it's your father's world? See, God is that big. for the system like this to work, for God to have a set a system in place, it's going to be a kingdom within every kingdom that comes from the time of Christ, and the people are going to be able to thrive and have their godly relationship with God Most High. That's got to be a pretty big God. He's got to be pretty awesome. He's got to be pretty majestic. He does have to be sovereign Lord. Well, guess what? When we submit in areas like this, that's just who we see. We have tumult and turmoil. We have anxiety. We have fear, which leads to bitterness and anger, and it leads to lashing out, and it leads to focusing on certain groups with certain sins. Because, oh my, the world's caving in, or my world as I know it. Well, let me give you a news flash. God's world's not moving an inch. Not an inch. See, if you are in Jesus Christ, your feet are on the rock. You may not feel like you're on the rock. I had a friend at our church. He actually pastored the church before I did in LaGrange, Wyoming. And he was a pretty good guy. He was back there, and he had just ended up, he taught in the Bible school there for a while, and then he ended up settling in the area. And some of us from the church were going to go over and help Dan put a roof on his, not put a roof on his house, repair part of the roof on his house. And it was a very small house. Many of the houses in that town, very, very modest, living in LaGrange, Wyoming. And a very gradual incline and all of that. So we're up there. And we look over there, and here's Dan. He's like this. Now, even if, well, it would hurt if you fell. Now, we were all a lot younger then, too, so it wouldn't hurt nearly as badly as it would now. But he's just frozen. And we're like, what's going on? He's terrified of heights, even so practically flat. But you know what he told us? He said, when his foot slipped just a little bit on that, you know how you have that gravel on the roof? When his foot slipped just a little bit, it's like, I'm going over. That's all I said, I'm going over. And folks, sometimes that's how we live our lives. And that's why we're so reactive. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're not going over. You're not living on a slippery slope. The texts that we look at, we're not going to look at all of those today. But you look at it, and it talks about having this proper attitude toward government. Letting God speak to us. It may look like things are a mess. Well, they are a mess. This is the greatness of God, the sovereignty of God. And when we are trusting in Him, I'm not saying we don't ever do anything. I'm not saying that. Don't come up with what ifs and things, say the things that I'm saying to not do this or not do that. I'm saying we begin. Instead of just accusing others of not honoring God, we begin by honoring God. And we submit, and we honor, and we respect, and we pay our taxes. And I think the thrust of the text could even say we pay our taxes and we're thankful for the system that we have. Verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. There'll be people. And if we were having this as a class and we had invited people in, we'd be having this. What if? It's not what if. Not all the hypotheticals. Not all the theories. Not all the conflicting. It's like, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. That's unfair. It can be unfair. Have you ever heard the name Georgie Benz? I just thought you might have because he was known in evangelical fundamentalist circles. He's a Russian believer. And he was a Russian believer many, many years before the Great Wall came down. Many years before they have the freedoms that they had now. Well, Georgie Benz, he lived his life in under communist Soviet Russia. He submitted to the governing authorities. Now, he didn't. If they had called him to deny God, he wouldn't have done that. If they had called him to do something immoral, he wouldn't have done that. Those aren't the majority of things that we deal with. The majority of things that we deal with are things that we think are unfair, or they're unjust, or I shouldn't have to do this. He dealt with that even under the communist rule. He obeyed every single thing that he could. He honored God. We have a kingdom that is over this kingdom. It's within this kingdom. What did they tell Jesus? They said, well, are you a king? We've got this verse in here. I think I can find it quickly. Yeah, inside page, John 18:36. Of course, the Pharisees, once again, were trying to set him up. The Pharisees were who? The religious folks trying to set Jesus up, trying to bait him, draw a line in the sand, get him to make a misstep. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting and it wouldn't have been a match. We looked a few weeks ago, I think it was Easter, the power of these angels, these supernatural beings, and that was only one or two of them that came down and shook the earth when they hit. He was thrown into the conflict again, the Pharisees trying to get him to mess up again. They came up, well, should you pay taxes? What'd he say? That's on here too. Well, hand me a coin. Okay. What do you see on the coin? Caesar. Then give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's. Were there wrong things going on in the Roman government that those taxes would go to? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. See, Jesus was never, he was never holding up this cause. His disciples were never pushing for this reform. His disciples were never lobbying the government. His disciples weren't doing those things. Their priority, which has to be our priority, is the kingdom of God. It is a wonderful thing to be transformed by God. Not just talking about it, not talking about this process of being renewed, the renewal of our minds, bringing about the transformation of our lives. How he can take someone who's filled with anxiety and or anger and or resentment and or bitterness and just so stoked up over all of the issues of life. Now he can take us, if we will submit to him through his word, through his spirit, and give that person a life of peace and quiet. That doesn't mean the world around us isn't exploding. But it's, where do we live? What kingdom do we hail as our kingdom? What are our priorities? Back to verse 2. Whoever resists what God has appointed, and those whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, that word for servant there, well, is anybody, we call them public servants. Could have had a V8 light bulb on. That's where we get that term, they're public servants. And we might say, well, this word for servant, it's probably, oh, you probably go back in the Greek, and it's probably like a secular term for servants. Nope. Same word for deacon. Same word for deacon. Now, is God saying, am I saying, that this person is righteous and a believer in God and all these wonders? No. Could be an awful, vile person. This is how great our God is, folks. But we don't see that. We don't have that perspective. If we don't look at our world as God is looking at it, he said, here, Dave, come over here. Look through this lens. Submit to the governing authorities, because I tell you to, Dave, you will see your world differently. And we will. There's certain fruit that comes with that. But let me back up. Just God's servant for your good. So God, and you could have good politicians. Yes, there are some. But servants for good. And we got a choice. He said, or if you do wrong, then be afraid. Doesn't bear the sword in vain. He's a servant of God. Same word, diakonos. Same word for deacon, support, helper. These are God's servants. So we ask, is our government, or the government of Russia, or the government of Britain, or the government of China, is it evil to contend with, or God's servant to submit to? That's hard stuff to take for independent Americans, isn't it? But do we believe God? Do we trust God that much? Is our God that great that even in something like that, that he can take a kingdom within a kingdom? He's been making it work for over 2,000 years now, folks. His priorities. That's the whole thing that we get skewed, because we don't understand that this could all go up in smoke. I don't want it to. I don't want it to. I like safe streets, and I like, you know, we got wars going on, but it could be a lot worse. But it may not be. But see, what's this thing about the treasure in the heart? Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Where are we to set our mind? On things above. Does that mean we don't ever deal anything with here? No, that doesn't mean that. It's priorities. Priorities, time, resources, effort. Where do we devote our energies first? Do we take the steps with God, the most clearly written steps, first? When we resist these authorities, we resist God. We leave ourselves open for punishment, unnecessary fear. We oppose the good. We remove ourselves, the good that God could do with them. We change the stance of the servant of God, the diakonos, the deacon of God, from worker of good to avenger. And thirdly, when we submit, we avoid punishment and bless our conscience. This is really, this section here, it may not seem like it, but it's truly a section of blessing. It's a section of blessing. It's like a power drink or a health drink that it's like your friend says, man, I'm mixing these things together, you know, and they're mixing all the vegetables, and we've got a juicer, and you can mix all. It's amazing what you can take all these vegetables and fruit and how good that tastes, and it's so good for you. Well, that's what this is, but this is offered to us sometimes, and it seems like it's like, boy, that's going to be really bitter. Or what if, you know, we come up with our what if hypotheticals, all these what if scenarios. Well, what if if God's offering this to us, why don't we take it and see if we can trust God in that? When we submit, we avoid punishment and bless our conscience. Verse 5, therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Folks, what God's telling us here is you can be at that place where everything is exactly right before God. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't sin 10 minutes from now or do something stupid. I'm talking from experience here. But there's not a better place to be than right before with God. Than being right before God. We've talked about that a few times. Much, it seems to me, from my limited perspective, but it seems like much of the turmoil that we have as evangelicals, as fundamentalists, is because it's just something stirring there. It's not, our conscience isn't clear, and that always is a tumult underneath. There's always an erosion of our peace and quiet. And we're taking the fight to the enemy, and we're fighting evil. But we're not there in that place before God where he is blessing our conscience. And someone can you know, throw a guilt trip on us. Well, you should be doing this. It's like, well, if God calls me to do that, I will. But you know what? I'm right before God. I'm right before God. I won't make all the right decisions, but I'm right before God. God will bless our conscience. It says, for because of this that we submit for the sake of conscience, so we can lay it down in our minds and lay our minds before God, and so we can truly be serious about this transformation by the renewal of our minds. We will take in the new information. We will take in the divine data, the words of God, even when it seems a bitter pill. And what I'm trying to tell you is a lot of these bitter pills, these very clear teachings of Scripture, it's pretty good stuff, but we won't know that until we sometimes choke it down. We submit, we avoid punishment. For because of this you also pay taxes. I'm in verse 6. For the authorities are ministers of God. Liturgoi. And this meant you've got a note somewhere in your... here, I know where it is. It means servant, minister. This word is used frequently in the Septuagint. When you see capital L, X, capital X, capital X, all in caps, that's an abbreviation for the Septuagint. The Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it's actually very valuable in understanding Scripture. It's very valuable even in authenticating manuscripts and things like that because it was so prevalent. But it was used to refer to people who served in the temple. And in the New Testament, it always refers to those who are ministering for the sake of the Lord. Again, not some secular term. Remember the prophecy, God said, I called Cyrus, what did he call him, a bird? I called that bird from the east. He wasn't a believer in God. He wasn't a worshiper of Yahweh. But for God's purposes, in his sovereignty, in his providence. It's the same God, folks. He didn't quit doing that stuff. The Old Testament's over, I'll quit doing. No, he still does that. Now, again, it could be a very fine person in a political office. But that isn't the issue. Their morals aren't the issue. The issue is God put them there. Will we believe God that He is great enough and strong enough and wise enough to carry out His plan in the world and in here if we will but obey Him and do less of talking about how other people are dishonoring Him, do less of that and more of honoring Him in our lives? For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. owed. Hopefully you were reading it, because I've told you this before, but it just fits really quickly here. Several years ago, quite a few years ago, would have been early 90s, Baptist Church in Traverse City, Michigan, and you'll remember this. You recall speaking about how that Slick Willie, and we heard that. Anybody ever heard that term for President William Jefferson Clinton? I'd get jumped right in there and kicked him just like everybody else did. Right there. Right here. We just read it. God pressed it on my heart. He said, Dave, what does it say? It doesn't say anything about Monica Lewinsky. It doesn't say anything about his economic or moral policies. He said, I put him there. He did not ask me to submit to him. God did not ask me to honor him. God did not ask me to respect him. He told me to. And I am a different person. I am a different person, the transformation that I went through. Well, Aaron always likes a good story, so here you go, Aaron. Unc, okay, that's abbreviation for uncle. Unc, the roller and the hole. I was working neighboring town. I was running a roller, flattening stuff. And anyway, they were building a school. We were building the pad for them. And they were having to, you've seen a lot of the work where you take out the big gas tanks, old gas station. They got to take it out and they got to dig out all the contaminated soil, pay big bucks at the landfill, and then put the good stuff in and fill. You can't just dig the stuff out and fill it in. You can't do that anymore. Well, you could do that, but you might end up in lots of trouble. So anyway, I had been running a big green Rago roller. And it's powered by the back wheels only. The roller's not powered. But this day I was running a Cat, a smaller loader, and it was powered, the roller and the back tires. You can say, oh boy, Dave, where are you going with this thing? Well, let me get there. Unc was the guy that started this place, and he's one of these tough old, and boy, if you cussed, you'd have cussed him plenty working for him until you got to know him. And he would cut you no slack, and if he thought you did something wrong, even if you did or not, he's going to let you know it. But I tell you what, once you earned Unc's respect, you had something there, buddy. Because he'd paid the price. This man knew his stuff. Well, they dug this big old gas tank out and had our excavator guy, and they had to start to get the better material in, and I'm on that roller, and he calls me over there and he wants me to run that roller down in that hole. Well, I'd been running that big Rago roller, and if I'd have run that Rago roller down that hole, I wouldn't have got back out because there wasn't room to turn around. I couldn't back up because it would be too heavy on the one side. Now, you're doubting Unc at all was taking your life in your hands a little bit. Or at least it felt like that sometimes. And so I was very hesitant, but I was on the Cat loader now. I wasn't on the Rago. Cat loader, rear-wheel drive, and the roller drive. Run that down there and pack that bottom. And I thought, well, even if he told me to do it, I still didn't want to go down there and get pulled out right in front of the boss. So I hesitated. I said, sure, won't get stuck. He said, this isn't my first rabbit hunt. I had full confidence. This man knew his stuff. He'd started this company. It was millions and millions of dollars. And how many pits and quarries, I'm not even sure. He's gone. He's gone now. But he started it, piecing equipment together, telling the guys, better hurry up and get in there. When you get that check, you better hurry up and get that check cashed while there's still money in the bank. But you could count on what he said. He could be a real knucklehead, but I really came to really appreciate him, really like him, after taking a lot of lumps from him. But you could count on it. You could count on it. Well, run that roller down the hole. It'll come back out. You can count on God. Might scratch your head. Submit to the governing authorities, even the ones we have. Even those weirdo leftists in European Union or even in China. Submit to those. It's not God's first rabbit hunt. Do you want to live with the knowledge that your God is sovereign Lord, He's God Most High? Do you want this peace and quiet in your life that He promises? You don't get it from quoting a Bible verse. We get it by just going into the fire. God says, do this, and we follow through. We have this expression, don't put all your eggs in one. Not so with God. In fact, it's just the opposite. But it's not what we do. What we want to do. We want to put some of our eggs in God's basket. What did Jesus say? You got to be willing to die. But the transformation, folks, let God transform. Let's take it back. Let's take it past talking about it. And let God, I'm not telling you to do stuff. Well, I'm telling you to believe God and obey Him. God's the one that'll do the stuff. God's the one that will do the transforming. But we put all our eggs in God's basket. We might scratch our heads. Lord, you sure? He'll be patient with you. I say, yeah, I've been around the block or two. He said, I've been around the block once or twice. Go ahead and try it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how I love you. How I love this group. How I love this community. How we love your word. We love, Lord, the fellowship that you've given us and the fellowship around your word. Father, continue to speak to our hearts. You're patient. You're wonderful in your instruction. Your Holy Spirit is there to lead us along. Direct us, Lord. Help us to take these words to heart. Help them not to just blow away as so much whatever as we go through our day, but we would allow these words to sink deeply. We would take very seriously the transformation by the renewal of our minds. Father, that we could see more and more that no matter what goes on around us, we live. We live in our Father's world. Amen, Mighty One.